Hi, Lawrence. How are you?
Hi, Laurie. Yes, I've just been practicing for my third guitar lesson tomorrow.
And how are you doing? Are
So,
you coming along okay? Are your fingers tips sore?
no, they've adjusted. I'm
Oh,
not
you
having
got
to learn.
calluses already. That's pretty good.
No, I've just you learned how to do it without hurting myself so much. You don't need too much pressure.
No.
So, So I'm doing my learning my chords for tomorrow. Well, I've learned them, and I've learned my first tune, which was the Beatles' 8 Days a Week, but it's not playing
Oh,
that
good one.
riff at the start. So
That's a good one. Well,
ain't gonna
so
cut it.
hello everybody, and thanks for joining us. We have some people in chat. We're kind of doing an interesting little twist here this week. Lawrence and I have been broadcasting, as it were, for about a year and a half now, or close to it, and we've got a lot of hours logged under our belts. We have a lot of people who have never missed a show or hang out. And we've got a lot of people who listen to these on podcast. So we decided that it was kind of time to do a little bit of a recap. And our method of doing that was to have sort of a pop quiz. And I don't know about the education system in UK, but in United States, usually after you get done with a book in class, you have a pop quiz where you have to go back and answer all the questions to so they can make sure you read the book. So we're going to kind of do a similar thing here. And so we have, I think, 19 questions, and several of them are multiple part questions. You will be asked to answer these questions by submitting a response to the numbered questions to the flatearthconspiracy.com website email set up specifically for this. And that email, which we will repeat later in the show, or is A1. It can be capital or not, doesn't matter. It's not case sensitive, but A1 at flatearthconspiracy.com. And you send it in the form of an email. And if you will line out all the numbered questions and then submit your answer. We are actually going to have two prizes. The
Three,
first, pr huh?
four,
Three
four
pri
pri four prizes.
four prizes. Oh,
I've got
awesome.
two prizes.
Okay,
I've got
where's
two
the?
surprise prizes that I didn't tell you about.
Oh, we got surprise prizes. Oh, that's even better.
No.
Okay,
Yeah.
so flatearthconspiracy.com website is hosting this channel, so the website prize from the website will be $100 for the person who answers the most questions correctly, and the quality of the answer will decide it the correctness of it. Meaning, if two people get all the answers correct, then we will award the prize to two people. Equally, but if one person answers it more concisely or makes better sense, then that person will be deemed the winner. And Lawrence and I will be the judge, and there won't be any other judges because we're the ones that have been doing these hangouts consistently for all this time. And we'll explain more later after we read some of the questions. So you don't necessarily have to write these questions down right now live, because you'll be able to come back to the video and listen to the questions be read again and then answer them. You do not have to write the questions. You only have to assign the correct number to the correct answer. So I guess we'll decide from Lawrence what their surprise prizes will be later on, since it's a surprise. But the other thing is that when if we have two winners who get this, all the questions correct, then we will award two top prizes. If we only have one person with all the answers correct, or the one who gets the most answers correct, will win the top prize, and the second runner-up will win $50. So, and that's if they aren't both get them all right. So not a whole lot more rules than that. It's pretty simple. It's just for fun. So we'll start by having Lawrence read question number one. And I think all of your questions have A, B, C, D, something like that. And then there's some that you actually have to explain. Okay. My questions mostly just have an answer. So why don't you start with question number one, Lawrence? And thank you for everyone who's listening. And thank you everyone who shares this with others in other groups on Facebook. And you're certainly allowed, because we do Creative Commons, you're allowed to download and re-upload this video to share on your own channels. The idea is to get it out there as far as we can, because we're trying to see that people are actually learning something about the flat earth and not just being cult members repeating back the same dogma that they hear from whoever they listen to all the time. So there are correct answers to these questions. All right. So all that being said, go for it, Lawrence.
Okay. This is question number one. And the question is, in which episode of Flat Earth Clues does Mark Sargent first say there are no shortcuts on the flat earth? I'll read that again. Question one, in which episode of Flat Earth Clues does Mark Sargent first say there are no shortcuts on the flat earth?
Okay, let me cut in here real quick, because we do have chat open and we do have people in chat. It might not be a good idea, since there is cash involved in this, for you to tell the answer in the chat right now, because you're going to be sharing that answer with all the other people in the chat. So you certainly are welcome to do that if you want to, but I highly recommend that you don't if you actually really want to win this contest. So, okay. So question number two.
Question number two. Question number two A is, which famous game show character is seen in Flat Earth Clues? Which famous game show character is seen in Flat Earth Clues? Question 2B, which episode does the game show character appear in?
Okay. Good question. You can go and watch our videos and find the answer, or you can go to Flat Earth Clues and watch them and find the answer. Okay, question number three, Lawrence.
Question number three. This has got three parts, A, B, and C. So question 3A is, which direction would a jet fly if traveling from Los Angeles to Tokyo to get there in the shortest time?
Okay, you're going to need to repeat that, because I think you just slowed down in one of those buffering moments. So read it again.
Right. Question 3A is, which direction would a jet fly if traveling from Los Angeles to Tokyo to get there in the shortest time? Question 3B, is this a shortcut compared to flying in the opposite direction? Question 3B, is this a shortcut compared to flying in the opposite direction? Question 3C, if shortcuts exist on the flat earth, how are they achieved? Question 3C, if shortcuts exist on the flat earth, how are they achieved? Okay. Question 4, which has the greatest length from one end to the other of the Tropic of Cancer and the Tropic of Capricorn? Which has got the greatest length, the Tropic of Cancer or the Tropic of Capricorn? Question 5A. How far is it from the North Pole to the South Pole? How far is it from the North Pole to the South Pole? Question 5B. The distance in A, the question you just answered, is the radius of the Gleason map. Using this number, work out the surface area of the Gleason map using the formula pi times the radius squared. So question 5B, the distance in A, i.e. the distance from the North Pole to the South Pole, is the radius of the Gleason map. Using this number, work out the surface area of the Gleason map using the formula pi times the radius squared. You can do that question to the nearest million square miles, so round it up or down to the nearest million square miles. Question 5C, what is the surface area of the globe model? 5C, what is the surface area of the globe model? Question 6. Okay, this has got three parts again. What is the maximum distance two people can be apart on the globe model? What is the maximum distance two people can be apart on the globe model? Question 6B. What is the maximum distance two people can be apart on the azimuthal equidistant map? Question 6B. What is the maximum distance two people can be apart on the azimuthal equidistant map? Question 6C. What is the maximum distance two people can be apart on the flat earth conspiracy model which uses the Galignan map? Question 6C, what is the maximum distance two people can be apart on the flat earth conspiracy model which uses the Galignan map? Question 7, two parts, A and B. A, how far did Robert Falcon Scott, this is Scott of the Antarctic, how far did Robert Falcon Scott walk between base camp and the South Pole? So how far did he walk to get to the North Pole from his base camp? Question 7B, how far is Scott's route when you plot this out on the Gleason map? You can do that to the nearest 100 miles, but how far is Scott's route when plotted on the Gleason map? Question 8, two parts again, A and B. Question 8A, how long is the McMurdo South Pole Highway? How long is the McMurdo South Pole Highway? Question 8B. How long is this route, i.e. the McMurdo Southport Highway, how long is this route when you plot it on the Gleason map? Question 9, two parts again, A and B. How many hours of daylight are there today at the geographic South Pole, latitude 90 south? How many hours of daylight are there today at the geographic South Pole, latitude 90 south? And B is the opposite. How many hours daylight are there today at the geographic North Pole, latitude 90 degrees north? Question 10. On March the 21st, the sun is up all day at the geographic South Pole. But just 2 days later, the sun is down all day. Why is this? This is probably the hardest question you're going to get. Question 10, on March the 21st, the sun is up all day at the geographic South Pole, but 2 days later, the sun is down all day. Why is this? Okay, question 11. Question 11 has got three parts. A man travels from the geographic North Pole to the equator. This is a distance of 6,225 miles. The total fall in elevation is 3,959 miles. What is his average fall in elevation per mile over the whole journey? So I'll read that out again. Question 11A. A man travels from the geographic North Pole to the equator. This is a distance of 6,225 miles. The total fall in elevation is 3,959 miles. What is his average fall in elevation per mile over the whole journey? Question 11B. What is his average fall in elevation per 6 miles travelled over the whole journey? So when you've answered question 11A, you multiply it by 6. So question 11B, what is his average fall in elevation per 6 miles travelled over the whole journey? And can you give your answer to question 11B in feet? So you're going to need to convert the miles into feet. So question 11B, what is his average fall in elevation per 6 miles travelled over the whole journey? Okay, and coming up to the next one, which is, sorry, question 11 has got 4 parts. It's got a D as well. I've got that on a different page. So question 11C, I've already asked you that one. Question 11C is using the 8 inches per mile squared formula, what is the fall in elevation of the Bedford Level experiment, also over 6 miles? Using the 8 inches per mile squared formula, what is the fall in elevation of the Bedford Level experiment, also over 6 miles? Okay, and that's it.
I thought you said there was a D.
No, there isn't a D. No, I wrote the same question out twice on the second page.
Okay.
So that's,
okay.
Those are all the questions. And
those are all your questions. I have some questions also.
Well, I'll give out I've got 2 prizes.
Okay, for your questions.
Okay. So the prize, now 1 prize goes to America or the rest of the world, but not the UK. So the prize that goes to America and the rest of the world is for a woman, because I cannot send alcohol in the post. And it's one of my exceptionally good perfumes. I make fragrances, and this one is called Euphoria, okay? It's pure perfume, so you just remove the top and put a few drops on your wrist, and people will be saying, do you mind me asking where you get that perfume from? It's very popular, this one. It's called Euphoria. It's a blend of linden blossom, cashmere lavender, which comes directly from the distillery in the Kashmir Valley, and clary sage. So it's a fabulous perfume. And for the men, this one will have to go to the UK, because I can't send, I can only send alcohol in the UK. It's a man's flat earth fragrance cologne. Of his choice, but if he wants to have expensive oils, then it might be a problem, because I'm only going to spend so much on it. But I've got 160 different oils, so I've got some that I've already made up called Flat Earth Fragrances. You could go for that or go for something else, but you'll definitely get a men's cologne. Well, you could use it as aftershave if you want to, and that'll be sent at my expense, one to America or the rest of the world, the other one to the UK.
Excellent. Was almost like advertising, Lawrence. That was
great.
Ask
Del, because I sent him a couple of free samples.
Those are good bonuses.
Yeah.
Okay.
So questions then, Laurie.
Okay, so I have question number 12. If you got through Lawrence's questions, mine will probably be rather easy in comparison, but they are all questions that we have discussed on the show. And there are also questions that you can look up and do research on without having to have watched 4,000 hours of Flat Earth Conspiracy Channel. Okay, so question number 12, what is the latitude at the equator and the length in distance? And that is based on what you believe, okay? So if you believe in the Gleason map or the AE map, you're going to have one number. If you believe in the globe, you're going to have another number. And if you have been watching the Flat Earth Conspiracy Channel and understand the Collignon projection that we've been using, otherwise known as the diamond, then you will have yet another answer, okay? Question number 13. Can you mute Lawrence? Because you're making noise as always. Thank you. Number 13. What is the angle degree of the celestial ceiling The celestial ceiling is known as the sky pattern. So I want to know the angle of the degree of the celestial ceiling. Number 14, what is the circumference of the ice wall? Number 15, what is the fastest commercial plane now flying? And I'm going to read that again. What is the fastest commercial plane now flying? Number 16, how far is the distance from Sydney to Santiago? Number 17, what is the length of the longest day of the sun being above the horizon in Antarctica? Another way to phrase that question is, how long on the longest day is the sun above the horizon in Antarctica? That was number 17. Number 18, what was the Gleason map created for? Number 19, what is the name of the college in Blackheath, England on the Gleason map? Okay, so that's 19 questions, and that's all of them for this particular pop quiz. And we're going to see how this pop quiz thing goes. We're going to be back next Wednesday with the answers. And if you have not submitted by noon on that day, on next Wednesday, that date is the 30th of November, your questions will probably not get in the submission. So you have until noon on November 30th to submit the answers to these 19 questions to A1@flatearthconspiracy.com, and that will be by email. And please put the number of the question and the answer. And whoever gets all of them right, and the one person or two people who get them all right, will win the equal prize of $100. And that will be payable by check to you. So you will need to put on your email a way to get back to you other than email. So you either need to put your phone number in there. This is all private. It's going only to our website, and we will not use this information for any other reason than to get a hold of you. So you either need to put your phone number in case we cannot get back to you by email, or an alternative email address to the one that you're sending it to the site with, because of spam or whatever ends up in your spam folder. So that's our pop quiz, and we're going to see how that comes out by next Wednesday, and we'll be back with the answers. And of course, they will be our answers because there are questions, and hopefully there's no dispute about it. But if there is, there are questions, and they are our answers. So. Do you have anything else you'd like to update on, Lawrence? I have something I would like to just tell our viewers and those who will be listening to this later in the podcast or whatever. But do you have anything else that you wanted to add? And you're muted, so you're going to need to unmute, and then you can talk.
Not just now, Laura. I might think of something while you're talking, but I haven't got much.
Okay. We didn't plan to have a big, long 3-hour dissertation going on this evening. But one thing that I wanted to just bring up, two things, actually. The first one is the division that everybody seems to be having, at least in the United States and in other Western countries that followed our election. I'm going to give an editorial opinion right now that is my opinion only and does not reflect anybody else on this channel, including Lawrence. But We have been victims of a big, giant presidential election spoof, in my opinion. I'm going to mute you again, Lawrence, because you're making noise. As far as I'm concerned, I am not a participant any longer in the election cycle, otherwise known as American political bullshit. And so, therefore, in the wise words of George Carlin, I'm entitled to my opinion and entitled to complain about it because I didn't participate. So if you don't understand what that means, go listen to George Carlin's wonderful routine about American elections and voting. But now that we're past the election and a lot of people think we have a surprise winner, I don't happen to be surprised at all. I feel pretty confident that I kind of called this one ahead of time, but not to gloat and not to brag, because that's not why I'm saying this, but I felt pretty sure that most people who were in the truth movement, the truth-seeking movement, the flat earth movement, those who have been watching the evolution of the truth movement have considered themselves awake. And if you voted in this last farce called an election, then you might want to reconsider whether you truly are awake or not. Because if you were so sure that you were going to elect a savior to save America and make it great again, and now you're gloating about it to those friends of yours who were going to vote for Hillary because they didn't like Donald Trump, you are now being victimized by the divide and conquer method that has been used so often and so repeatedly. It is called the Hegelian dialectic, which means problem, reaction, solution. And the method or the purpose of using the Hegelian dialectic is that the same powers that be can create and implement all three aspects of the Hegelian dialectic. The problem, they create the problem. The reaction, they wait for the reaction and they work the reaction using their arm of the mainstream media. And then, boom, they provide a solution, one that they've already had planned and already worked out based on the reaction. So if you have fallen prey to this normalcy bias, in other words, my guy won, so I get to gloat because your guy won last time and you gloated for 8 years. All we're doing is playing a big game of stratego ping pong bullshit politics, okay? So hopefully, quickly, we can get off the division tactics and we can come together as those who consider themselves awake and aware and stop with the being used by the media, by the puppet masters, by the Hegelian dialectic plan, and being at each other's throats. So whether your guy was the winner or whether your lady was the loser or whether you didn't vote at all, which actually that vote won. It was 49% of the people who were registered did not vote. So the nobody vote was the actual winner. And so I wanted to say that because I feel pretty confident that over the last week or so of watching my news feed post-electiono, I have seen the continued arguments and finger pointing and, you know, gloating and whining and so on and so forth. And it's really time to get off that, because what we really need to be doing is we really need to be focusing on how we as a collective group of people who are supposed to be awake and aware to the control by the puppet masters should be banding together to continue to take down the liars that be, using all of the truth methods that we've been using all of the years prior to this bogus election. So that's one thing I wanted to talk about briefly. And the next thing I wanted to talk about is Pizzagate. For those of you who haven't heard of Pizzagate, which would surprise me that any of you listening have not heard of it, at least, please Google Pizzagate and please YouTube Pizzagate and look into it, because it is another one of the very large bricks in the wall that if we can get more people to understand and see just what kind of vicious, evil, and horrible controllers that we are being subjected to, being made slaves to, the faster we can wake up more people. And this is another one of those that is real and that should shock the crap out of everybody. And if they're not shocked, it's because they've already been researching it for quite some time, like myself, and not necessarily Pizzagate, because that's a new moniker, but the pedophilia and the human trafficking and the missing children and the missing people has been a prevalent part of my research for quite some time. So it's finally coming out via leaks and emails and so on. Do not blow it off as some conspiracy theory, because it is not. It is very real, is very serious, and it needs to be talked about, because one of the reasons why it's been able to be hidden and kept secret and in the dark for so many years is because it's just too horrible to think about. But it's time to face reality and understand that there is big evil in the world, and that it's time to expose it, and it's time to be honest about it, about the prevalence of it. And anyone who has been a victim should be finding a way to find their strength and talk to somebody about it. If you're still being victimized, then the same thing, find a trusted ally and share it so that we can help to make it stop. So, two heavy subjects, sorry about that, but I wouldn't be honest with myself if I didn't take the opportunity to mention these two very important issues facing us as flat earthers, facing us as humans, and as those who believe themselves to be awake and aware. So, stepping off the soapbox, and that is that. So, okay, Lawrence, we've done about 30 minutes, and I think that's adequate for this episode. And we have talked about maybe doing more episodes and shorter ones. So thank everybody for joining us. Thank you, Lawrence, for the intelligent questions. And we'll hope to have more than a few people submit some answers. Because you, if you've been watching and you've been paying attention and you have the ability to do a little bit of math and a little bit of research, don't be overcome by some of the math questions just because Lawrence likes math. I don't particularly, but nothing there is too hard to figure out. And thanks for listening. You have anything, Lawrence?
No, I'm done and dusted, Laurie.
Done and dusted. Okay. Well, good luck with your guitar. Good luck with your guitar lesson. And thanks everybody for joining us. And we'll see you next week on Wednesday, if not before. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, John Boy.